Welcome to the On the Pursuit podcast, where we connect with entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, and business owners who've built amazing things on the pursuit of their goals and dreams. And I'm your host, Brendan Boyd.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Pursuit podcast. Today, I am in, where am I?
Anaheim.
It took me about an hour to drive down here. And 18 months later, it feels like, maybe I'm in the presence of someone that's amazing, impactful. Like, she light up your day. She makes her content is like nothing you ever seen. So if you're having a bad day, all you gotta do is just go onto her Instagram, TikTok, and just listen to the vibe she put out. Miss Jackie Browbatty, what's up? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And you know, on the podcast, we talk to 6, 7, 8-figure earners. We want to know, how did you get to where you got to? And how they can do it by learning from some of your mistakes. So.
Okay. So I get asked that question a lot. And this is my initial response always. The version of me that took the time to heal is the version of me that got me here today.
So the version of you that took the time to heal is a version of you that got you here today.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Everybody hustles, right? But the goals and the dreams that you set are hella different if you're operating from pain, struggle, and trauma. If you take the time to heal as much as you hustle, you start to like yourself. You dream differently. You set goals differently. You move differently. You wake up differently. Your perspective on everything changes when you can look in the mirror and be like, I like you, right? So take a certain level of healing and understanding that I'm worthy of this. I'm worthy of 100K months. I'm worthy of 7-figure business. I'm worthy of financial stability. I'm worthy of a real estate portfolio. I'm worthy of nice things, right? So the version of me, the one that genuinely loves me.
The one I'm sitting next to right now?
I know, that's right. This version is the version that got me my dreams.
So what did that look like? So if somebody's watching right now, why don't you kind of dial back to like, when were you, what was the healing process like? Do you remember the age? You remember what you did?
Okay, I'm going to be really, really honest. I stumbled into healing on accident.
You stumbled into healing.
Just stumbled right into it because my whole thing about entrepreneurship is it can be a vessel for healing if you allow it to be, right? My motto is to heal as much as you hustle, because there's nothing worse than having all this money, looking at yourself in the mirror and still not liking who's looking back at you. So at the beginning of my business, I was getting screwed over a lot by people I knew, like people that I trusted. And it was not because I lacked it. Well, yeah, it was because I lacked a business mindset, but also because there was a lot of things and behaviors that I was operating from that I was implementing in my business.
So there's a lot of behaviors and things that you were operating from that were just transferring over to business.
Think about it. Like, one, you don't have business knowledge, right? On top of that, you're operating from, like, for example, if you are a non-confrontational person going into a business, the likelihood of you enforcing policies, your late cancellation policies, things like that, is going to be really hard for you to do.
That makes a lot of sense.
Do you feel me? So lacking boundaries on a personal side, you don't lack boundaries on your professional side. So when I say you got to take the time to heal, it's going to impact the way you hustle if you don't, right? So a business, if you want to know who you truly are, like, I mean, what you are made of right now in this day and space, start a business. Because it's going to show you everything that you're doing on your personal side in your business.
So do you recommend that the idea of even going through that process is a great way for someone to heal? Like, they should just start that process? You think that should that be part of healing? Like, going through that process of starting a business? I mean, there's things that everyone's going to have to run into. And it actually makes you get uncomfortable when you start doing, like, these steps.
Think about the very first thing for me. And I'm sure majority of the people experience this. The very first thing we heard growing up when even wanting to start a business is the first thing people say automatically is like, it's hard. It's hard to start a business. it's hard to own a business. That's always the first thing. But when we go to, when we talk about college, nobody talks about it. It's hard to go to college. It's hard. What I know now, because I have a master's degree in nursing, medical is my background, is it's harder to go to school for something you don't even know you want to do versus starting a business that you just, it sits with you. You know what I mean? So for me, and it's just like a gradual process. So again, let's just go back to 2019. I'm getting screwed over. I'm crying. I'm like, what?
Which is not that long ago.
It's not. Yeah. It's wild, right? Yeah. Like, your life can change drastically in a year if you just get out of your own way. A lot of the time, it was me. It was me. It was always me. I always stood in my own way of success. I always stood in my own way of greatness. I stood in my own way majority of the time. And it was the fear. I stood behind my fear. My fear of being judged. My fear of failing. My fear of, it's just like fear is such a debilitating thing. So it's like, going back to the idea of like healing, right? I was able to take those lessons and turn them into my first online course. Because the thing about me and I look about my life is like, I've been making mistakes since I can make decisions. And I never knew why. I was like, girl, what is wrong with you? I literally was in seventh grade reading the Bible. Like, girl, are you possessed? There's no way you're just making all these dumb mistakes. I literally got expelled from middle school. I was on probation from 13 to 18 years old. My poor dad, who is a single father, by the way, I'm sorry, dad. Like, he's so spoiled now. I literally love that man. He raised four girls by himself. Four girls by himself. I'm over here, the oldest one, making his life hell. You know what I mean? And just like, even that, I actually did a live one time and I was bawling. Mm-hmm. It just made me cry because like, fear and guilt, guys, are the lowest vibration you could ever operate on, right? If you think about like the guilt that you have being a juvenile delinquent, putting the people that you love through hell, you have to forgive yourself for that, right? You have to forgive yourself for the idea that you put all these people through that, right? So I feel like a lot of the time people talk about it's okay to make mistakes. We're human, make mistakes, whatever, but they don't talk about the process that it takes for you to forgive yourself for these said mistakes that you made. So it's like my steps for doing that now is like, okay, what was the mistake? What was the mistake that I made? Have I forgiven myself? Did I learn from the mistake? Did I forgive myself for the mistake? And how am I going to not do it again? And I apply these things all the time. So even now when I'm having a bad day and I feel like everything is just messed up, I don't look at like, why is this happening to me? I'm always like, okay, where's the lesson? There's a fucking lesson here. So where's the lesson? Where's the lesson? Why is this happening for me? And just the idea of gratitude that everything is always in the service of me being a better version of myself. I'm going to leave today, even though it's a shitty day. If I can find the lesson, I'm more prepared tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm a better version of myself tomorrow because of the mistakes that I made today.
That's actually fire. And when you really look at it, it's like, literally everything that's happened to you in the day, whether good or bad, there's something in there, right? And if you decode what's in there, especially if it's, you know, not great, like if you're like, oh, this has happened to me, this is bad, I had a bad day, whatever. You can decode that. If you find that thing, you can self-correct and just change the whole situation.
Exactly. That's the mindset that I have every day because—
So you are, right now, are you looking
I am consciously like, see, that's the thing. Like back in the day, I was always like, why is this happening to me? I have the worst luck. I'm cursed. And I don't know if you guys are like black sheeps of your family or whatever, but that idea that you're cursed, now I look at it like, okay, I was cursed. I was motherfucking cursed because I look everybody around me. It's like, why is my life harder than everybody else's? But in order to break a curse, you have to be cursed. So if you can just accept the idea that, you know what, I'm not a black sheep. I'm a warrior. I was the one set and selected to be the one to break generational curses. And if I could be the one to dead it, then everybody behind me is safe. So for me, it's the premise of applying purpose to my pain, applying purpose to my struggle. Because if I wake up every day and I just look at my past and I assign pain to it, and I wake up in pain and I'm just like, God damn, that shit hurt. here I am again in pain. I'm actively choosing to assign pain to my childhood versus me waking up an adult, stepping into my power, understanding that I was the one selected to break these curses, right? And now I'm assigning purpose to everything bad that's ever happened to me. So it's just like, for me, it's like, that's why I choose. And again, it takes a certain level of like, get out of your own way.
So what was Jackie like? What was the brown baddie like before she was so enlightened? Like, what?
She
like,
was a hot mess biscuit. Oh, God.
Okay, so let's talk about this hot mess biscuit. What was that like?
You know? I mean, drugs, alcohol. You know, I had a child really young. So my daughter, who's now 17,
She's a grown woman, by the way. That's a grown woman.
She's a hustler. Let's talk about her. Follow her on Instagram. 24K_nails. She's 17 years old. She got her own business. So, you know, she take after her mom. But, you know, being a single mom at such a young age, she watched me grow up. We grew up together. Mm-hmm. So the version of me that's just like, one thing for sure though, okay, so I was even worse before I had my daughter. I was
so you feel like
fights, everything.
Feel like your daughter started your movement?
Yes, 100%, okay. Because I always operate on, okay, she didn't ask for me. She did not ask for me, so I gotta do what I gotta do to just make it work.
That's a great point.
She did not ask for me. Yeah. You know what I mean? She did not say, please make this woman my mom, this young psycho, crazy girl that doesn't have her shit together.
I wonder if that was the case. Like, would we choose our parents? Like, I want to go with this crazy person.
My dad, yes.
I got to be thinking about my parents. Like, would I have selected? Like, if you had the foresight to look down and choose parents, whatever, would I have chosen my dad that would not have shown up ever? You know what I'm saying? Or my mom that was kind of going through what she was going through. That's a really great point.
Think about it. I mean.
Or do you select that because you're like, I need that trauma so I can be better. Like,
okay, so this is my thing about, okay, so I had mentioned I was raised by a single father, you know, four girls, but my dad. So my mom left. She was in and out here and there. But I had this anger inside of me for so long. I had this anger inside of me for so long that I didn't feel worthy of love. Because if there's somebody that brought you into this world does not love you or does not want you, why? How could anybody else want you? How could anybody else deem you worthy of love when the person that society says this person is supposed to love you does not fucking love you or doesn't show up in the way that you're supposed to be loved? You know what I mean? So I think if anybody out there is still struggling with abandonment issues, this really helped me work through that, do that inner shadow work, rejection.
You about to break it down, right?
I am 100%. This is going to help. So listen up, guys.
Rejection is God's protection.
And now I say that because should she had stayed, I'd have had a twitch. I'd be stuttering. I would be doing all kinds of stuff. I would have all these other issues.
So I'll tell you over again. You said if she would have stayed.
If she would have stayed, I would have way more issues. I would have a stutter. I would probably like have other things that I wouldn't be having any help from other than abandonment issues. Do you get what I mean? So God said, we're not doing that. I'm going to take her. I'm going to move her somewhere else because these four girls deserve something better.
Ain't that crazy?
He said, bye.
Ain't that crazy?
But again, it takes a certain level of healing to have that type of perspective. Right. So now when it's like, how is it like rejection's God's protection? He's just protecting me. Okay. That client didn't come through. Rejection's God's protection. That person canceled. Rejection's God's protection. Because something else could have just been far worse.
Yeah. Well, you could have got that. Sometimes the money ain't worth it.
That's 100% what I tell all my students. Not all money is good money if it's going to fuck up your peace.
Facts.
So back to that word peace. It's like funny because when I thought about peace, I just thought, oh, peace on earth. I never really correlated it to inner peace until I started my business. So when everything was getting messed up, I was getting screwed over. I was stuck in this big ass salon with barely any clients. And mind you, when I started my business, I was working 9 to 5 as a nurse. 9 to 5 as a nurse, watching my own kids because I work remotely. And then from 5 to 9, I would go to my salon and I would tattoo brows. And then on the weekends, I would work 2 clients in my brow salon, Saturday and Sunday. For two years, I did this.
What made you want to start the side business, though? Like, what was it about? Like, why was you like, I'm working, I got this good job, I'm a nurse, but like, why did you want to start a business? What was it about what you were doing that led you to like, hey, I need to do something else?
Again, this was on accident, right? I stumbled into my six-figure side hustle.
Stumbled into healing, but
it's just like, you know what? Now I understand it to be my intuition. Mm. I always thought it was an accident, but when you let go, right? When you let go of fear, on the opposite side of fear is faith. So if you just listen. So in the beginning of your business, fear is so loud. What if I suck? What if this doesn't work? What if I waste my money? What if this? What if that? So I turn around. What if I'm great? What if this does work? What if this changes my life completely?
You were telling yourself this? Or you
believe it? Yeah. I had to.
Like affirmations or what?
No, I just literally had to the point where, okay, so the voices are in your head.
Yeah.
So I try to fight them in my head, right? I tried to be like, no. I'm in my head fighting it. And then it got so loud that I had to outright, out loud, be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I do that.
I was like, shut the fuck up. And my husband was like, I didn't say anything. And I was like, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. And at some point, you're going to get sick of talking to yourself. So it's just going to be quiet. But the more you can heal, I believe, the fear just gets quieter. And now your voice in faith and hope is louder. And I feel like that is your guiding force. What movie was that? There was a movie and it's like, if you pray for strength, God doesn't give you strength in a box.
Yeah.
He gives you opportunities to be strong.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just something that I hold on to as well. And think about this, guys. If you guys are in the process of owning a business and you pray, dear God, I don't want to live paycheck to paycheck anymore. And God puts an idea of a side hustle in your head and you said, no, I don't want that. How you know that's not an answer to your prayer?
It's like I've seen this thing. It was definitely probably like a reel or something. But a guy was telling a story about like being stranded on an island, and mm-hmm. he was asking God to get me off the island. So God sent him like a boat. He didn't take it. Like there's someone was a boat. He was like, no. Then he sent him like a raft or something. He was like, no. He kept sending him stuff so he can get off the island, but he didn't like.
The way he helped.
Exactly. He didn't like those
options.
That's
the problem.
So he stayed on the island. And then he asked, God, why'd you curse me? He's like, bro, I sent you a raft. I sent you a boat. I sent you this. I sent you that. I sent you a helicopter. Like, all the options were there, but you didn't like those options, so you didn't take none of those options. That's crazy that you said that.
Right?
I mean, that's what it is. Like, you're going
to
pray for it.
Yep.
Well, why do you anticipate that it has
you
to
come? You shoo it away.
The way that you
want it to. Yeah. And it, okay, look. My joy. This is another life hack, guys. So listen real quick. If you pray for something, just know it's coming in the complete opposite direction of what you thought it would be.
How do you identify that?
This is my prayer for peace. Dear God, I just want peace in my life. I just want everything to be peaceful. I'm tired of struggling. Dear God, please give me peace. What did God do? He started removing people out of my life that wasn't going to contribute to my peace. Mm. Was that painful? Yeah. Motherfucking hell yes. I was in tears. I was crying all the time. How could this happen? I thought we were friends. I was just trying to help you. He's going to remove jobs out of your life, careers that you thought you never had to walk away from, people that you never thought you had to walk away from. But if you want that prayer for peace, it's not going to come easy.
Yeah,
facts. Because everything that gives you peace and comfort more than likely is a trauma response to something that just makes you feel better in the moment. But to have a certain level of peace of just like, and the problem is people think peace is an emotion. It's a state of mind. Because even when shit's fucked up around me, I'm still at peace.
Like, yeah, okay? I agree with that.
You feel me? It's like, it's not an emotion. Just because you're sad doesn't mean you're not at peace. Just because you're happy doesn't mean you're at peace. Inner peace is like, I feel like it's just a state of mind. Like, I feel peaceful, even though...
In the chaos.
Yeah. I just know it's going to be fine. I just know it's just happening for me. It's not happening to me. And what's the lesson? I always, like, even though when things get messed up, I bypass the whole, why is this? What is... I don't even question it anymore. Where's the lesson?
Yeah, fact.
Automatic. And that takes a certain level, certain mindset to bypass that. Because then you're not like, you're not making yourself a victim. Like, well, this is so hard. This is terrible. This is that. You know what I mean? So it's like, bypass that shit.
What's up, y'all? It's Brandon Boyd. And one of the best things that has helped me go to the next level is powerful affirmations. I would say them every single day, literally when I open my eyes. So I put together these powerful affirmation cards to help you get to that next level, right? With powerful statements like, I live in abundance, or statements like, I'm not a prisoner of my limiting beliefs. Now, if you say these things to yourself every single day using the power of repetition, you're gonna believe the things that you wanna achieve. So look, grab your affirmation deck or your manifestation deck or your money manifestation deck. Let's grow your mindset and let's get you to the next level, right? Click that link below, grab your cards, let's go.
You started your business on accident. You're healing on accident. 2019 wasn't that long ago. So like, what kept you moving through, like, because if you started a business on accident and you're healing on accident, when did you realize that you were actually doing something that was good for you if you're doing it by accident? Like the healing process, when did you realize that was actually going on?
I feel like people that are successful don't notice that they're successful until they're already past that part of the struggle. Mm. So the thing that kept me motivated, even though everything was like crazy, was, I don't know if you guys have watched that movie Soul.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay, so there's a scene where he's playing the piano and he kind of gets uplifted into this place where he's just like jamming, vibing, and the clarity's there, right? And that's how I feel when I do something that I love. That's how I feel when I'm tattooing brows. That's how I feel when I'm teaching other women how to start and grow their
sick. You're like in a flow state.
I'm in this place of just like bliss.
Mm.
Where I'm just like, yes. And my soul is just like, girl, yes. I'm at my highest excitement. So I have this friend and she's just like, follow your highest excitement. That's what she always tells me, is like, follow your highest excitement. So you heard it here, follow your highest excitement. Keep, and if you have that, you're gonna have those moments of clarity. Because working 9 to 5, I've never had that feeling where I can have peace and have moments to think like, what can I do differently? How can I change this? What don't I like about myself? What can I do to make it better? But when I have those moments of clarity, I'm like, yes, this feels right. And I don't know, just having that idea that this is meant for me. This is meant for me. God made this for me. This was where he wanted me to be. Just knowing that my path is going in the right direction. Like I said, your energy is so different. You just invite different things into your space. And that's what I want. That's what I want people to understand. And it's just like, we all pray for things all the time, right? Dear God. And so my main prayers were like, I want more time with my family. And I don't want to live paycheck to paycheck anymore. Those prayers were not answered working 9 to 5. Those prayers were not answered off a 75-cent raise annually and 2 weeks of PTO and 6 sick days. How are you going to get more time with your family when you already sold your time to an employer? And then the worst part is you let them set the value for your fucking hour because society said that's how it's supposed to be. So again, I implore you guys to step into your power because I could not do anything about the time that I already had spent working 9 to 5. But what I did do was create a side hustle that turned into my main hustle. Eventually, I was able to leave my main hustle. And what I did was buy my time back.
All right. So the things that were attracted to you to start the side hustle, you didn't want to live paycheck to paycheck.
Yep.
And you want to spend more time with your family.
Yep.
And the main job basically capture on everything, and it took all your time away. So wanting to do that, was that scary for you, that transition? Because I know there's probably a lot of nurses that, like, I got this job, I understand what you're saying, but, like...
The crazy thing is I was already making my nursing salary the second year of my business.
So let's talk about the money real quick. So, like, the nurses on average is making... Plus, minus how much?
I don't really know how much now, but I was making $52 an hour as an RN with a master's degree back. I left nursing 2020 during the middle of the pandemic. I was like, nah.
This ain't it.
Mm-mm. That was not it. And I think for me, it was like, when I'm at my salon, this is my lane, right? You hear all the time, I stay in my lane. I mind my own business. But when you don't have your own business, you don't mind your own business. You get in your car and drive to somebody else's business and mind their business. Then you go home back into your lane and mind your business. So here, this is my business. This is my lane I created. So it's the ultimate level of peace here because I dictate who comes through those doors. When I was a nurse, I had to push somebody else's bottom line. Mm. So if I had to fire a single mom that was going through a divorce, and that's one of the things that I really, it bothers me. But I had to do that. And till this day, it's like, I'm never going to do that to a single mom. I would never do that to somebody that is already fucking struggling. But my boss said I had to do that, right? So it's like, trash. Don't want it. Don't want that type of energy. Don't want that in my space. And now I created a place where other women can heal and hustle, where they are safe to do that. Whether it's on my online business, my online university, or my in-person classes, I'm always going to show up for my students in the way that I wish somebody showed up for me, you know? So I just think, again, the whole idea of starting a business, people are terrified, right? It's like scary, but it's not even that scary. If you compare it to your greatest pain, think about the greatest pain, the thing that brought you to your knees, the thing that you never thought you would heal from. It's a walk.
A lot of people are, it's hard for them, or they think it's difficult or they're fearful because they just don't know what to expect. So I think a lot of that fear also comes from like, you don't know what to expect. Because when you don't know what to expect, you're like, I don't know if I want to open that door or start this thing. I don't know what's going to happen. People like to figure out in their mind the outcome before they move. But like there's just certain things that we do every day where we don't do that. Like if you're driving at home and it's nighttime, And maybe you do know how to get home, but you can't really see the path.
Mm-hmm.
You only get like, you know, a couple of feet in front of you with the headlights. It could be raining, it could be snowing, it was crazy in LA the past couple of weeks.
I know, like, man, it's so scary.
But it's like, you're in the car, you got control. You believe that you're going to make it to your destination, even though you can't see the ending. Like you just move a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit more. But when people think about starting something new or doing something totally different, they don't look at it like that. They're like, I got to know the end result. Am I going to get a client? Because if I'm not, then.
I mean, think about it like this. People are in the search for their greatest potential. I want to know my greatest potential. I want to know my greatest potential. It's just like, I don't want to know my greatest potential. Because if I ever found out my greatest potential, that means I quit that day. That was the last day I did something, and that was my greatest potential. But if you continue to just get to the point where you don't want to quit, right? Nipsey Hussle said, it's not about getting to the end. It's just getting to the part where there's no return.
Mm.
It takes longer to walk backwards than it is to just keep pushing, right? So it's like, fuck the end. I'm just trying to get to the middle where it's like, fuck it, gotta keep going. Like, we already here. Like,
I'm in the water now.
Might as well keep going, right? So it's just like, that always sat with me. And I really love Nipsey Hussle for a lot of the things that he said, because it's just like the idea that, you know, he was all about like energy and spirituality as well. I thought it was really amazing. So there's a lot of things that he says that just resonate with people that have struggled, right? So it's like coming from poverty, those are all generational curses. Being a product of welfare, being in the mud, like the whole idea of in the mud, right? People hustle to get out of the mud. I feel like people actively try to get out of the mud, and they say, once they're out of the mud, I got out of the mud. And we say it with such pride because we did that. But we don't realize that there's a second part to it. It's washing the mud off of you.
Facts. Yeah.
You got to take the time to. And this is like something I tell my students to do, like, just wipe it off. Wipe it off. Feel yourself wiping off that mud, because that's you healing. You don't have to be hard anymore. You don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to operate on trauma anymore. You did the work to get out of the mud, but you're not done.
Yeah.
You have to heal because you don't have to be like that. You don't have to be hard. You know, one of the things that my daughter told me that really hurt me, but it was one of those honest moments. You know what I mean? She said, "Mom, I think you should cry more in front of us." I said, "What you mean?" She goes, "You know, it would just be nice if you cry more so we know it's okay to cry too." And in my mind, I'm like, I was a single mom trying to show her what it's like to be a strong woman that I forgot to show her. We're allowed to be soft.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like we can be soft. We can be soft. So I'm in therapy. Advocate for therapy for sure. So I started my healing journey and I worked backwards, yeah. You know, 30s, 20s, and now I'm in my inner child phase and you need help to sort that shit out. You need help to unpack all that stuff. So me being hard in my feelings started when I was a kid.
Mm, of course, yeah.
How are you going to unpack all that shit without somebody's help?
We don't really get the instructions on how to live.
Mm-mm, because they make it seem like, one, it's we live in a system that's intended to keep us broke and broken.
Mm.
The only way to combat being broke and broken is to heal as much as you hustle, right? So why do they make us feel bad if we need therapy, if we want therapy? Even if you don't think you need therapy, just go and talk. It's nice to just be like, girl, this was my week and blah, 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 blah. And she's not judging.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love my therapist. Shout out to Brittany. I love her. She's like, I wish I could just text her and be like, hey, you know, like your own girl, but you can't. You can't, you gotta leave. But for me, it's just like, when I say that these systems are in place to keep us broken, it's because they make it hard for you to access therapy. Mm. They make it hard for you to even want to access therapy. They even make you feel bad if you outright say you need help unpacking all these things. And then the part that's going to keep us broke. They want us to be, it's easier to go into debt for $112,000 worth of student loan debt, me, $112,000 worth of student loan debt, than it is to go get a business loan for $5,000. And then when you get your debt from your college, it's impossible to pay it back because they don't even account how many kids you got, how many cars you got. If you got a mortgage, they don't care about those things. So what ends up happening is you end up going into a payment plan system that's like, oh, if you pay it for nurses, I mean, the one that they set up for me was like, if you make a payment every month and you don't miss one, we will discharge it at 20 years. What?
That's the
answer. What? I owe you this much money and for 20 years and you're going to just gracefully discharge the rest? Well, thank you.
Mm.
Right? How is it that I can pay back that student loan like that as an entrepreneur? But as going to school for what I actually went for, I had to start a side hustle to pay it back. That's how I accidentally rolled into my business, is because I finished my master's program. I was going into a repayment. I was like, fuck, I'm either going to get a second job or I got to do a hustle. If it only takes $274 a day to make six figures, everybody needs to understand that they are a walking six-figure skill set. Everybody has a six-figure skill set that they can do. And now people need to remove the idea that a degree is the only way that you can make six figures, because it's not. It's actually easier to start a six-figure side hustle than it is to find somebody to pay you six figures.
Facts. I would agree with that.
100%, right? It's like, man, I can literally start a six-figure business. Now let's use this man as an example. And I love using him as an example because I found him on Yelp or Facebook Market. I forget. My husband found him. And I just need somebody to remove the cabinets and haul the trash away. I did not ask this man for his credentials. I did not ask him if he went to college. I did not care. You know how much I paid him to remove the cabinets and haul it away?
How much?
$250.
How long was he there?
An hour and a half.
It's crazy.
Now, let's say he had two other clients. $750.
1 hour.
1 hour skill. That's a skill set. So
he's
don't,
not even doing the other work because he sent them out.
And if he was a hustler, or if his wife wanted to get into a business, he'd take the shit that he hauling away. She could refurbish it and sell it on OfferUp.
Yeah.
This is what I mean, where people are so down and out about their path that they can't see that they are missing
opportunities.
There's money everywhere.
Yeah, they're missing opportunities.
There's money everywhere. All you need, and then the idea that it needs to be 100% right. It needs to be beautiful. Entrepreneurship is ugly, especially in the beginning. It's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty journey. It's not something that's like kittens and rainbows. But the reward is beautiful.
Mm.
Like, when you get to see, the reason why I can go, keep going on days, even when it's slow, right? Even when it's slow, is the idea that I love it. I love my businesses like they're my babies. I made this. This is my baby. This is a person. This is an entity to me. This is a thing. This is not something that I could just walk away from, right? This is my baby, you know? So it's like, it's easy. It gets easier to stay in the business. It gets easier to stay in your dreams. And I think what beauty bosses miss is they don't know the peaks and lows of their own business. They just look at it like, I'm so slow, I'm doing something wrong. When it could be a sales situation, it could be summer and people are trying to go on vacation or not having the appropriate promotions that capture their clients, where it's like, oh, it's summer, people are going on vacation. So instead of just promoting, oh, eyelash services, why don't you capture your audience? It's like, don't forget to get your lashes done before your vacation. Or I have a promo, buy one, get one free, a free fill when you come back, or whatever the case may be, right? Or it's like brows, if you're doing brows, where it's like unfuckwithable brows or smudge-proof brows, poolside-proof brows, or it's like you go into the pool, you come out, you still got brows. Mm-hmm. Yes, please. Because if, honestly, back in the day, I didn't have brows in nursing school. I look crazy. I wish I had brows in nursing school because then I wouldn't be 6 a.m. looking like, can I take your BP? Looking like I shouldn't be laying next to them.
You got some pictures of that?
No. Not with the brown baddie, with the brown baddie.
For real, though.
Not with the brown baddie, with the brown baddie. But yeah, you know, so it's just like a lot of the time it's if you are a beauty boss, I want you to listen because this is going to help you with your energy and your motivation. Track the slow days. Track the slow months so that next year you can anticipate that it will happen again.
That's a good point right there, yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Because then you're not like, oh my God, I'm doing something wrong. This is, no. You already know quarter four is slow.
Mm.
Q4 is slow. So if you are not booked and busy by October, everybody's already removing their spending on themselves to spending on their family. So you need to change your sales and your target demographic to people wanting to spend money on their loved ones. Buy your wife the perfect brows for Christmas. Nobody wants another bag. They want brows. You know what I mean? So it's just like, are you marketing to the right people in the right season? Who are you talking to? Because everybody will spend money either on themselves or somebody they love. So who are you talking to? And I think that's something that's like, that went right over my head the first year of my business. Who am I talking to? You know what I mean? And I think that's just important. We miss that part. So going into the business side of brows, I feel like everybody teaches the skill. Whether I teach brows and I teach body sculpting. But I also take the time to teach business because I was so blindsided by it that I was like, I hope nobody else in the world has to struggle like this. So I created online courses to make it easier because the problem is people, they quit.
Mm.
They quit when it's hard. But if you can get behind a mentor, you can get behind an online course that's going to walk you through what to expect. It eliminates trial and error. And my number one rule for opening your own business is don't do shit to hurt your own feelings. you're going to get your feelings hurt no matter what. But if you're just adding to the things that can hurt your own feelings, the likelihood of you quitting increases.
So let's get an example of that. What do you mean?
Like for brows, I tell my brow students, do not do cover-up work. Do not try to do cover-up work on somebody because that takes a certain level of skill set to deal with a client like that. And it takes a certain level of skill set to do the work of covering up somebody else's tattoo. You are going to be there with that client for 5 hours, and more than likely, they may have brow PTSD is what I call it.
That's facts. I can see that.
Yeah. Where they're like, oh my God, I didn't speak up for myself last time, and that's why I didn't like it. So now I explained to them, like, you're just the new boyfriend. You just want to love them. You just want to treat them right. And they're like, no, the last man messed me up. I'm going to tell you everything that I didn't get to tell that last person. Now they're like, this is off by 1 millimeter in this one. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I just tell them, limit the amount of things that hurt your own feelings. So I say, not every client is meant for you. And it's okay, right?
Yeah, that sucks. That's a super true statement.
Yeah,
and you don't really want everybody anymore.
No, you don't. Yeah, no, you don't. You really
you
don't.
Want your people. Where
that's
my
right.
people at?
Yes. Every day I ask God, please bring to me who's meant for me. Every day. That's my intention. So it's like, the best way to do
we
that.
We finally heard your prayer because we got you on the podcast. God. Yeah.
I just say, you know, like, I want people, when I tell them to do their social media, show up as yourself, right? Yeah. Because, and we heard that all the time as kids. Just be you, just be you. They didn't finish the sentence. The sentence is just be you so you can weed out the motherfuckers that are not meant to be in your space.
And you do a really good job, I think, of just being you on social media. Yeah. Like, you got a good amount of education, information, entertainment, dancing, got the energy, showing the travel, you know what I mean? Got your family on as well. So you really do a really good job of embodying that to show people and still obviously giving the information and educating them at the same time.
I just think it's important to just be you. And honestly, the main reason why I do that every day, I show up on my lives, I show up in my stories, I show up on my reels as me is because I don't want every single client. The reason why, I don't care how saturated the beauty industry is, there is enough room for everybody at the table because not every client is meant to be my client.
Yeah.
And the best part is, just by being you, it's an unspoken boundary. You don't even have to say nothing. If they think you're annoying online, they're not going to bother you in person.
Facts.
And in return, it's going to lower the amount of bad reviews you get. But if I was acting like bougie or like all into materialistic thing, you know, ooh, you want to start a brow business? Like, I have a Gucci this, I have a Rolex, I have this. If I was promoting those things instead of healing, instead of hustling, I'd be getting random people that just don't fit my energy. I want the women that are ready to work hard. I want the women that are ready to heal. I want the women that are ready to hustle because those are the women that we vibe. That's our energy.
And you're probably wondering, why do I got these clients? Like, why keep getting these clients?
Yeah, because you're not showing up as yourself. Yeah. I love all my students. I probably only had 2 students that were like, how do you slip through the crack? I probably only had 2 that were like super entitled to my time, super entitled to like, I've only had, you're probably 2. It's just like, how you get here? How did you get here?
Yeah,
you
like, know what I mean? It's like one video.
You're right. And it's just like, I don't know, like, if I can line up all my students in a line, I will hug them all because I just feel like we are just like-minded women. So it's just throwing yourself out there and being unapologetically yourself is not, it's not a niche.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't treat it like that's the niche. I'm me. I'm so raw and da, 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 da. Nah, it's a me. It's a protection. It's a tool for protection. It's a filter system.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, tool for protection.
Yeah, it protects my peace. It protects me. It protects... Do you get what I mean? So it's just like, show up as you. Show up as a version of yourself that wants to attract similar energy, you know? Like, not all money is good money. Not every client is meant to be yours. But once you figure out who you are, once you figure out the things that make you happy, it's easier to show up as yourself. But again, it brings me back to the idea, you got to heal as much as you hustle.
What's up, y'all? So I want to take a second to speak to my creators. So whether you currently got a podcast or think about launching a podcast, maybe you got a YouTube channel and you think about launching a YouTube channel. Here are the facts. Did you know that 9 out of 10 creators actually quit because they don't have anyone to hold them accountable? That's why all you need to do, right? Click that link below, join my Action Takers community, because not only are we gonna hold you accountable, we're gonna teach you how to execute at a higher level. Plus give you access to principles and strategies to grow your mindset and generate more revenue. So what are you waiting for? Click that link below and join one of the fastest growing content and accountability communities. All right, I'll see you on the inside.
So let's talk about you hustling real quick. So your business, there's a lot of people that may have a similar business, right? So what are the ways you found that could be profitable in your business, right? Because obviously you got digital side. A lot of people don't have a digital side. What about the services you offer? So what are the different ways you were able to leverage your business to create different streams of revenue?
Okay, so my thing is I want everybody to understand and be confident in taking knowledge, acquiring knowledge, and turning it into money. Because a lot of the time, people don't understand value. They're always on cost. Oh, it cost me this much to take her class. It cost me this much. And they don't understand the value. When something simple as like a thing of lipstick, a thing of lip gloss, it cost me $40. But the value behind it is I'm gonna feel pretty. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna show up on my reels, feeling cute. I'm able to do it confidently. I'm able to use it 100 times and feel great 100 times. And it only cost me $40.
Yeah, facts. That's how I felt when I put on my lotion this morning.
That's
it got me right.
And we're able to be all with our hands out.
If I didn't have on lotion, I would not be here right now.
You would not be having your hands out all in front of the camera. That's for sure.
Nah, yo, but that's a really good point. Go ahead.
And for me, and again, this is a society thing, because I feel back when I was in my struggle, the definition for value was cheap, thrifty. I feel like society likes to confuse certain people for certain meanings, because if people really understood the word value for what it truly is, they would not let other people determine their worth, right? I know, like, for example, somebody that flips burgers. Their worth is set at, what, $15 an hour right now? But the value, they don't understand that McDonald's probably made how much money off the day that they were there.
Yeah.
If they knew their value that they brought to a company, they would ask for better worth. But if we're confused on the word value and we think it's supposed to be thrifty and cheap, we're not going to question our worth.
Yeah.
Because now when I look at value, I know my prices are set for value, but it takes a certain level of healing for people to invest into my courses. But I know for sure they walk into that course, they're going to walk out a completely different person.
No, that's super facts though. You're right, man, because that even goes down to when I have conversations with clients and I'm like, why is your prices so low? Like, and they're like, I seen somebody else's price, so this is what I've been seeing. But why are your prices low? Like, what they don't have nothing to do with you. The information mm-hmm. that may be in your program, your course, your services, whatever, that has nothing to do with the next person. So why are your prices, so low? That even down to some of these books, and I see people, they may have a book that might be $9.99.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with books that are $9.99. But I always ask, I'm like, why is your book $9.99, right? They're like, well, on Amazon, they're normally $9.99. How many books do you need to sell to get to how much you want to make? First of all, how much do you want to make?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you selling books?
Again, who's been addicted to that? Yeah, exactly.
So you start asking these questions, and I'm like, well, if you want to make $1,000, and this is for everyone that maybe you want to make your first $1,000 book, but if you want to make $1,000 on a book, if the book is $9.99, it's going to take a lot of those to make that $1,000. What's that, mm-hmm. like 100 books or something like that?
That's a lot.
It's a good amount.
That's a lot. I
think my math's right.
Do not ask me to do math.
Look, if the book was $47, you only need to sell 22.
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to tell me the value that you have, the time that you put together, the research that you did, the knowledge that you put into this, you can't find 22 people that would purchase that at $47? Now you got $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
$1,000. So it's not necessarily what the next person, you know, price of that. It's what your value is. And also, if you want to increase your value, you can just simply add something to increase the value. And that's what's so amazing about digital products. You can make an ebook that's like $47. And if you, for some reason, feel like the value, like your book's not worth $47, you can make another digital product as a bonus and throw it in there as a bundle. Mm-hmm. And now it's worth way more than $47. That may make you feel more comfortable to price it as that. And then you can get your money.
The version of you that's going to set the appropriate price is the version of you that took the time to heal. Because if you don't feel like you're worth anything and you don't feel like you're doing anything worthwhile, how are you going to ask people to give you money?
Confidently as well.
Right?
Yep.
And that shit, that energy is on the screen. I don't care what anybody says.
Facts.
They feel, your potential clients feel your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you got to come in, and then it's about like stepping into your power. Understanding that you hold the power to change any of the circumstances you have before you, right? Understanding that you're destined for great things, despite whatever mistakes you've made in the past. Who cares? Get rid of it. The thing about mistakes is once you can learn from them, mistakes are it's just wisdom.
Yeah.
And now you're a pillar for wisdom for everybody else, right? You can just be like,
a friend of mine used to always say, he was like, yo, you're like a lighthouse?
Uh-huh. Like a beacon of light.
In an ocean or whatever, you a lighthouse. So like what you just said is just that. So that's why, at least for me, and we were kind of talking about this off camera a little bit, about just like enjoying being at home or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's why I like being home and studying, researching, going through a program, checking out a YouTube, just gathering information, sharpening, my tools, or just adding something. And then I could be like, yo, guess what I found out, y'all? You know, this. You can put that on a live, long form piece of content, short form, mm-hmm. whatever. And then I could help somebody, inspire somebody, help change someone's situation. You know what I mean? That's why I think it's so amazing. Yeah, I see you do that all the time.
I love it. I love. That's one of the things on my bucket list, is to change a stranger's life. So when I was in a position to help another person, I created my single mother scholarship program, where every year I select a winner that I just try to change their life. I give them a 6-figure skill set that they can roll with, and you know what I mean? And
I think I want to do that.
You should.
I definitely want to do that. You know why? Because
energy is always, okay, the thing about, the way that I feel about energy is I always like to pay my blessings forward, because if you keep your blessings with you, they change with your energy.
Mm.
And I'm not happy all the time. I feel my feelings. Sometimes it's like, okay, push it forward. When I push blessings out is when I feel like I'm struggling the most.
Mm.
If I'm struggling the most, I got to double down on helping somebody else. Because that means it's staying. I kept my blessings with me for too long.
How much is your scholarship?
How much is it?
Like, what do they get? How much?
They get the whole, get the kit. They get everything.
So
give them the whole how to start your first brow business. It's $2,500.
Yeah, I want to do something like that. Now you got me thinking. I kind of want to give away.
I do it once a year for Christmas.
I got to talk to you about that. I'm like, should I give away like $500 a month without that program? I don't know. I want to do something. Because I'm thinking about me when I was little, when I was younger, and my dad wasn't around. I was waiting on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'd tell me he's coming. We wasn't texting back then, but he said, I'm coming. Never show up. No call, no show. Back then, we had the rotary phones.
An outreach program.
He didn't show up multiple times. Then I think about my mom, who was showing up, but she had a substance abuse problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes when she did come up, was like, do you want to go see wrestling, or do you want to go with me to the crack house?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, mom, what do you want to do? I just wanted to be with her. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I mean, more times than not, I would go to the crack house with her, and I'd just be sitting doing my thing, and she'd be doing her thing. But we was together. So as a young kid, I just wanted to be with my mom, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like, using wrestling as an example, if I go see WWF, I want to do that. But if I go with her to the crack house, she wants to do that. So I felt like she would be more interested in that. We would have more, it would be more enjoyable. You know what I'm saying? So I chose that, but I still got what I wanted, which was to spend time with her. What would I have liked to have access to as a young person? Go ahead.
Okay, just off the top of my head, being a juvenile delinquent myself with way too much time on my hands, I think it would not be for me. I want to create a outreach program for young women who feel lost.
So break the outreach down.
Well, it could be something as easy as a coaching program online, something that you do with the YMCA, mm-hmm. something that you offer to kids that are potentially lost, or just even signing up to be a big brother or big sister, right? Like some sort of way to just help in that capacity. So
be available.
Yes. Right. So I think you are the perfect person to head some sort of like online podcast. You ask a lot of kids what they want to be. They want to be an influencer. I want to have a YouTube channel. I want to have this, but they don't have the means to do it. Yeah. They don't have the space to do it. So, you know, creating a program that would allow them a space to record themselves, materials to record themselves, where it's like you help them set it up, you help, you know, to give them the understanding now how to do it, you know?
Yeah, I think that would be dope. I mean, you kind of gave me the idea. The YouTube would be fire. That's easy. They all got personalities. I remember being a kid. Your imagination is crazy.
Right? And people that struggle are funny. I don't care what nobody says.
So YouTube, podcast, even also helping them create their first digital products. Because they can make bread right now.
I'm working with my daughter. She's 17 years old. She has her nail, you know, side hustle. I'm working on helping her create her first digital product with nail art. And that's just passive income, guys. That's just like you do the work one time and that's it. So that's what my second business. I have my in-person training business at the salon where I'm doing a service providing business. But I also have my passive income business where I'm making money right now. You and I are talking. Yeah. Somebody's buying something. You get what I mean? So I think monetizing your genius. That's Carter's favorite. Monetize your genius, yeah. Right?
That's why I like collecting the affinity stones. It's like,
right. How many skill sets I got? But it's just like, for me, it's like, if you break down your skill sets and you understand. So every digital product you create has the ability to make six figures on its own.
Yeah, facts.
Right? On its own. Mm-hmm. Whether it's an ebook or an online course. And now it's like you're getting good at producing these things. And all of my stuff, if you look at Be Batty University, all of it is based on my mistakes.
Yeah.
What I want to protect people from. So I have a book that's like a beauty boss's guide to open up her first salon. I almost quit. I literally almost quit because I was like, I don't know how to pass inspection for the Department of Health. I don't know how to talk to these realtors. How do I find a realtor for commercial? Like, what am I going to pay him? Is he supposed to pay me? Like, who pays this man? I don't have money to pay him. You know what I mean? Things like that. Number one thing I want you guys, if you're on this podcast, please listen to this. Do not, and you want to open your first beauty salon, do not sign a lease for a space without calling city zoning and planning. You need to call them of that city and say, this is the address. Am I able to do this service there? And they're going to tell you yes or no. What I see a lot is people DM me, man, I wish I would have got your ebook. It would have saved me, you know, time and money, because it's literally a guide from start to finish of what to say, what to do, what mistakes to avoid. Because the problem is, again, when people don't understand investing in value, is going to cost them at the end.
Yeah, it's going to cost you more. It's the same.
Trial and error costs money.
It's the same thing when people are like, oh, your program, oh, the course, oh, the whatever. And it's like, yeah, you're worried about the price right now, but the price you end up going to pay later is going to be five times more, and then the time.
Mm-hmm,
so you think you save money on the front end by not investing that $50 or that $100 or that $5,000. You know what I'm saying? Now, and then you end up spending hundreds of thousands of dollars later fixing it. And then all the time that you wasted that you could have just invested on the front end. And the tears, yeah.
Man.
Why would I not want to pay Proud Baddie if I want to open up?
I'll tell you what not to do. Because like I said, I've been making mistakes since I've been making decisions. But what I did with it was turn it into an ebook.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to teach you what not to do. Exactly. Monetize your genius. Yep. We'll monetize those mistakes too. Because cautionary tales are just as important as inspirational tales. Yeah. What not to do is just as important as what to do. Right? Because the thing is, like, trial and error costs money. But what it costs you even more is heart.
Yeah.
it's going to hurt your feelings. This one girl, she DM'd me. She said, I signed the lease and I found out I couldn't do it. I had to pay a fine to break the lease. Now, if you did do that and you have to either pay a fine to break the lease or you are going to spend a year or so appealing it with the city and they could still decline. So now you are paying monthly for this space you can't even do. And that's because nobody set out to tell us what it's like to own a business. They don't want us owning businesses. They want us being good employees that show up to work, sit down when the bell says to go to lunch with the bell. School has always been created to create really good employees.
Yeah, facts. You know exactly what the bell means. You know what the time is.
100%.
You know what time you be there, what time you're going to leave. You know the drills. They used to practice the...
perfect attendance.
All of that. Yeah.
Perfect attendance awards were designed to make you feel bad if you didn't show up.
Yeah.
Now you over here sick and dying talking about, I got to go to work.
Right.
Thanks. I got to go to school. I'm not going to get the perfect attendance award.
Yeah.
That shit was designed to make you feel some type of way for not being homework. You know what I mean? Not that I'm saying homework is not necessary. It's good to have homework, but some of these things is like.
Yeah, you got to leave and then you go home and you're still doing stuff.
Right.
You know?
That's not what I do here in my business. I mean, no, just kidding. I didn't be working here. But it's been unlovely.
Yeah, but that's
it's a different say. Kind of homework. Yeah, it's like, oh, I love this. What am I going to learn today? What am I going to do today? Exactly. You know what I mean? It's just different. It doesn't feel like homework because it's just like, I love it. This is what I wanted to do. This is what I signed up for. It doesn't feel like, oh, God, I got to do this today. You know, I just show up. I show up for myself. I show up for work. I show up what I need to do. It's just like, it's a different vibe. It's a different energy when you get to show up.
So you monetize the mistakes that you made, right? You've been hustling and healing.
I know, that's
now,
right.
Now we're here.
Yep.
Right? You be traveling, you teach, right? You share. You got these digital products, right? You got a scholarship. Where we go from here? What's next? What's going on?
I mean, I do have a business coaching program where I teach women how to get the bag. And it's not for me, it's all of it, you know? My goal this year was simple. Because I felt like I met a lot of my personal goals already, where it's like, I just want my business to keep growing. It's already on an autopilot type situation. So I switched my goals to ensure that everyone that's following me is hitting six figures too. Because the consensus in my DMs is there's all these women with six-figure skill sets not hitting six figures. Why are you not hitting six figures? And for me, it's always the mindset. Mm. Is your business set up to hit six figures? Do you have your LLC? Yeah. Do you have your EIN number? Do you know what to do with your EIN number? Do you know what you're done? Yeah. You get what I mean? Is your business set up to be a six-figure business? And once you do have all those things set up, are you in the mindset to see it through to six figures? Because it takes a certain level of hustle to get there. Mm-hmm. It takes a certain level of, honestly, addiction to be so in love with something to just keep going. You know what I mean? Like, again, I work 9 to 5 as a nurse, 5 to 9 doing brows. And then on the weekends, I will work. I did this for 2.5 years. But the funny thing is, I was already making more as a brow artist than as a nurse.
Yeah.
Right? So it became easy. People like, how do you know it's time to leave? How do you know it's time to leave your main hustle? I said, they started costing me my peace. They started costing me out because I was already making way more, but I held on to this job because like, no way, man, I worked hard for that degree. I'm not going to walk away from this. But the moment I let go and I decided to follow my heart, follow my dreams of helping other women achieve success in their beauty business, I tapped into a version of myself that was able to create 8 years. So what I can't do anything about the past, right? Yeah. Can't do anything about the past. Working 9 to 5, I can't do nothing about that. But what I can do is buy my future time back from my employer. I said, I'm not giving you any more of my time. I'm fucking out. Give me my time back. And what I did was I took my businesses and what it would have taken me 8 years to make as a nurse, I did it in 1 year as an entrepreneur. That was me actively buying back my time from an employer that I gave my time to. I sold my time to him. I said, I'm going to get that shit back. And then I'm going to double down on myself. And I never looked back because it's just like, why? Why would you ever go back? It's like, now you know you can do something you love.
Yeah.
And people think it's like, it's hard to do something. It is.
It's hard to go to work.
Fuck yeah, it's hard to go to work for something you don't want to do. Yeah. It's harder to go to work. Mm-hmm. It's harder to get up for work than it is to like just stay dedicated. And I think the idea that people think it's supposed to be perfect out the gate is not. Just know it's messy. It's messy, and just be down for the ride. Be down for everything that comes with starting a business. You got to crawl before you walk, right? That's always what they say. And it's just like, just know it's a mess. And if you can, find ways to like grow your business, get grants, get behind a, use that grant money to get behind a mentor, find some kind of funding to get behind a mentor. You know, I think a lot of the time as beginners, people spend money on shit they don't need.
Yeah, facts.
Okay, so I'm gonna give an example from what I used to do when I first started. I would buy two of the same pigment colors. So I spent probably $50 on two pigment colors. I didn't even have two clients. One pigment is enough for at least 30 clients. Why do I need two of the same color? Mm. Because I thought in my mind, that was me spending money wisely. Yeah. That's you putting your money to sleep. Yeah. Your money is on that shelf waiting to be used. Instead, what I could have done, which there wasn't a lot of people that had, I was one of the first beauty people, I think, that had a digital product to teach other women how to be successful in the beauty business. So my Booked and Busy blueprint, right? This is a formula that I created that I know works because I did it over the course of multiple businesses, service providing businesses. If you have a calendar you need to fill out, these three strategies are going to work to get your calendar booked out months in advance. Mm-hmm. Because I have a daily strategy that I want you to implement. I have a weekly strategy that I want you to implement because the weekly strategy targets the last minute people. Oh, I want to treat myself day, or I'm a lagger and I need to go get my lashes done and I forgot to make an appointment. The monthly strategy targets the people that work in advance, or obviously employees that, you know, they get their work schedule a month in advance, right? So there's three different strategies that I created to ensure that you get booked and busy. Weekly, daily, weekly, monthly. And eventually, one of my students that started doing the Booked and Busy blueprint before it was a digital product, Michelle Isbrow Bay, I love you. She still does it till this day. She is booked for Brows April 2023. Mm. And she works 5 days a week, two brows a day. That's well into six figures, okay, by the way.
Yeah, and she knows that she got them people that they all set up in a calendar.
Do you know what I mean?
What's it right now? January? What's that? 2-3 months?
April, 4 months.
Yeah, 4 months.
4 months, and she got money. She knows there's money coming four
money
months
right,
later.
Right there.
Do you get what I mean? So it's just like, but me spending money on a stupid
pigment.
Extra pigment that I don't even need. I could have spent that money on a digital product that was going to teach me how to get clients.
Yeah, facts.
But people don't think that that's wise. I'm not going to spend money on the Booked and Busy blueprint. I need more pigment. Girl, no, you don't. You need more clients to use said pigment on. So I wish that people understood value because they think it, as employees, we're taught tit for tat. 1 hour of work equals $50. So when we invest in knowledge, I would rather buy a pigment because I know I'm getting something in return immediately versus investing in my Booked and Busy blueprint. Yeah. And they're like, I don't know what I'm going to get out of that.
I think it also goes with like how people are more willing to invest on their outside and not the inside.
Mm.
Can't see the inside. Listen,
oh my God, why is that getting on here in my feeling? Why is it resonating? I love it.
And podcasters, how would you like to make 5 or 6 figures with your podcast? Did you know that most podcasters do not make any revenue? It's because they think they need brand deals, sponsorships, and a large audience to monetize your show. But what if I told you, you don't need none of that. Just a simple 4-step framework to position your show to be monetized. And I can give it a game completely for free. All you need to do is head over to podcast2profits.live and I'll see you in this exclusive training. I'm going to give you all the game. What are you waiting for? Head over to the training. Let's go.
So this is the thing. Right now, people are outside severely dehydrated.
I need water. I'm thirsty.
Right? No one drinking water. But a lot of the times, it's because you don't see your water level. Right? Like in the car, you're like, oh, I got some gas and red light's on. Like it's about to be crazy. Or I got to charge my car. Like it's about to be crazy. You could see it. There's alerts. You know, like there's a bell going on. You can see the little flash. You go take care of it.
But on the inside, you may know there may be some things you need to take care of, or you may not know. But because you don't see it, there's no, even when you eat healthy foods, it's like you don't eat the food and it's like the level goes up and you can see how it's affecting your body. You have no idea on the outside how amazing it's doing for you on the inside. But that's why people will go out and buy that expensive outfit, get the hair done, get the face done, get the haircut. I mean, I need a haircut anyway right now. You know what I'm saying?
I can't tell. You good.
You know, the car, the trip, whatever. Whatever you feel like you need. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. Like, people are getting a lot of plastic surgery now and different things. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're doing it because they can see it and they feel like, if I can see it, it's working or it worked and I'm justifying it. But you're not taking care of the main thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not taking care of the main thing. But you have to continue to do that. Because even what you said, right, how you were able to get to this point, heal, you know, by accident, stumbled on it, whatever. You weren't seeing, you ended up seeing it eventually, but every day that you were doing different things, you weren't seeing those results. They were happening in your mind. They were happening in your spirit. They were happening in your energy. And then eventually the you know, that comes out. Like, yeah. You see the results of that. You see where we're sitting at right now. You see what you got your daughter doing. You know what I'm saying? At her age, you're getting racks on racks.
That's generational wealth, guys. Don't let it go over your head. These digital products that you want to invest in, entrepreneurial knowledge, once you know it, you get to pass it down.
And you can make money forever with it. Yep. Like, somebody can buy it right now or next week. The same information that you spent an hour on or a couple of hours on or a day or two on, package it up, put a link together, put a price on it. Mm-hmm. You're good to go.
Yep. You know forever.
I mean? Yeah, so... I'm having so much fun with you, man. I feel like we touched on a lot of different topics.
I know. And it's all just, I honestly just love it. I love the idea of owning a business, starting a business. I feel like even if you love your 9-to-5 and don't ever want to leave, having a side hustle is the ultimate tax hack. It lowers your taxable income, right? The expenses that you have on your business side will lower the amount of taxable income that you have on your W-2 side.
I just thought of something. Because you mentioned that. And then you said something earlier. I don't remember verbatim, but it was like, you know, oh, you're picking up six-figure skill sets. Mm-hmm. So every skill set that you can pick up, you mentioned, six-figure skill set.
I know that's right.
To monetize that.
Yep.
And then pay for it, right? Continue to make money from it and also reduce your taxable income because of it, why would you not want to learn new shit? It's like, literally, you can learn something right now and you can learn the whole thing if it's like quick, package it up, sell it the same day or the next day. Or if it's a little longer, you can still monetize while you're in the process. Mm-hmm. You can monetize while you're learning.
Yep.
You know, because I can get into this program, let's say the program is 90 days. I'm still going to know more than somebody that's not in the program.
Yep.
And as I'm doing my thing, I could charge them up for where they're at. And as I'm learning, give them the gems and stuff. That could pay for your program.
Yeah.
So everyone out there that's like, oh, I don't got the money or whatever, you can literally earn while you're learning.
Yep. Like my daughter, I just bought her a car and I want to use other people's money to make the down payment. Mm. I did a quick sale, made it in a day. Yeah. Use other people's money to do the down payment, right? And so, coming from a place of poverty as a single mom, you asked that version of Jackie if that was possible. Be like, no way. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. How could I ever?
Take that lesson or that strategy and package that up and then sell that.
Everything has a dollar amount. You can monetize anything. But it takes people understanding that they own a six-figure skill set, that they harbor that six-figure skill set. Again, that man that I paid $250 to, he has a six-figure skill set, but other people are overlooking that six-figure skill set, right? They're overlooking that owning a truck, knowing where the dump site for the county is 100% a skill set.
That's a skill set, yeah.
All he needed was his drill, man, or his strength, and a truck, and how to get to the site. $250 made in an hour.
Yeah, facts.
Right? So it's just like, I want everyone to remove the idea that success is only found behind a degree.
Yeah.
Because that's not true.
And not being afraid to put it out.
Yeah.
You know, I got a friend of mine who's extremely talented. Like, she can do a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of stuff. She can monetize. She could probably have a whole slate of services, a whole slate of products, right? But she don't put it out, right? So the same thing for someone that might be listening or watching. Like, you have to put it out. It has to be available. You know what I mean? Like, even if no one buys it, they couldn't buy it if it's not available. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, like, if it's available, someone could stumble, like you said, and, you know, I could stumble on it. I stumbled on my business. But you stumbled on your business. There were things that you needed, that you could acquire, that you could either pay for, learn, whatever. But sometimes you just got to take that step. You got to make it available.
Yep. So my therapist, this sentence that she said really helped me. She said, every time you feel triggered, I want you to ask yourself how old you are in that moment. Like, whether it's fear or whatever, like, if something is triggering you. And guys, triggers are not a bad thing. I think society makes you feel like if you're triggered, like, oh, you're being triggered right now, like, there's something wrong with you. There's actually nothing wrong with you if you're being triggered.
Let's not listen to society.
Yeah, let's not. If you feel triggered, it's your body doing right by you. It's telling you, hey, there's something going on. You need to heal. You need to heal from this. Because every time I felt triggered by something and I was able to overcome it, on the other side of that, I was able to let go of the fear. And on the other side of that fear, amazing things started happening for me, right? So there's something in her mind that's not allowing her to press that publish button.
Yeah.
There's something in her mind. And that goes with fear for anybody, right? Ask yourself. So majority of the time, people, I feel, don't want to get in front of the camera because somebody told them they were ugly. Or they don't want to be the face of their brand because somebody or society or whatever said, you don't fit the model of beauty, you can't be. So people, it's like, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
This is your brand. Show up. This is you. Show up. This is, you know what I mean? It's like, I think it takes a certain, you're beautiful. You're handsome. Thank you're beautiful. You. You're handsome. You're beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, you are that. And I don't care what nobody says. Show up every day. Show up every day. But it takes a certain level of healing. To get in front of that camera. Instead of stepping behind it, get in front of it, right?
I guess we know the title of today's episode.
Healing and Hustling.
Healing and Hustling. Facts, for real. That's just a common theme going on.
It's always going to go back to healing.
No,
anything you do in your business that's not seeing you success is because you are implementing some pattern in your personal life that is inhibiting you from being a better version of yourself, including being a better entrepreneur.
Facts. Man, listen, Jackie, broad baddie, she done gave it to y'all. Like, you done touched on everything.
Gems on gems.
You know what I'm saying? Six-figure months, seven-figure months, millionaires, six-figure skill sets, stacking your skills, monetizing your skills. Oh, I guess one thing I did want to ask you is like, Because I know for some people, it's a deterrent or they think it's hard to do to be able to be someone that has a business and have a family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So being able to have, you know, because you're a mom, you got a couple kids, right? You're married. So how are you able to do that and still operate your business and show up for other people? How have you not allowed that to prevent you or stop you or be an excuse for you?
I can't answer that because... as a mom, you always feel like you're failing at some point. You never feel like you're showing up as the best version of yourself. You know what I mean? And then when you have a business, you feel like you're even more into it. So I feel like allow yourself the grace to not be perfect. That's my advice when it comes to that, because you're never going to feel like you're doing it right. But at some point, I want you to feel like you're doing your best, and that's enough. You feel me?
I like that. I like that. I think that's a good way to put a bow on it. Listen, you guys, this has been another episode of the Pursuit Podcast. Jackie the Brown Baddie. Let them know where they can find you, what else you got going on, so they can tap into your products, your services, everything.
So follow me on Instagram. That's numero uno @brow_baddie. I have links in my bio that'll take you to anywhere you want. I have a full team of people that will answer any DMs that you have. So if you are ready to start your beauty business and ombre brows, body sculpting, let's do that. If you're already certified in those things and you want to grow your beauty boss business to six figures, we're going to get into that. I mean, I do it all. Jackie of all trades.
I'm about to open up a brow business. Listen, you guys, I appreciate you. Tap into the next episode. Make sure you follow the Brow Baddie. I mean, she had to win you over in this. Like, I will see you guys later.
Bye.